We've come to the time tonight in our church life where we conduct some business, we do some ministry reports, and we hear some other things, and that's going to take a little while, but not a long time, maybe. So I trust you're here in spirit and in heart and ready to receive these reports. And with that, I would like to call us to order for our quarterly church conference. In doing that, I remind you that if you vote, you must be a church member. That's all I have to say about that. But if we pass out ballots or we do something else or we vote on an issue, it takes a church member to be able to do that. There's no doubt there's a quorum here because that only takes 25, and I think we've well surpassed that. So we're calling the meeting to order. Got some men that are handing out your minutes and treasurer's report. And when those are out, we will begin to look at those for a couple of minutes or whatever you need. Do y'all need some in the balcony? Does everybody have one? Have access to it? Y'all need one? Okay. Y'all have any more? You're out? Okay. Yeah, if you have any, take one or two to the balcony, whatever you have left. Might have to share a little bit. Very hard thing to always anticipate how many of those copies we need. Most of the time we have a lot left. But tonight I don't believe that's going to be the case. So, and I'm glad you're here. Everybody have a copy or have access to a copy? Yeah, if you will, take a minute. And look at those first two pages of minutes. These are minutes from our December meeting. If you remember, we have this quarterly, and our meeting should have been in November. We put it off until December so that we could have the budget prepared and introduce it at the same time. So this month should put us back on our quarterly schedule, and we should have another one in May. Everyone had an opportunity to look over those minutes. If you have, I will entertain a motion to accept those. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Second in the balcony. Good. Now, are there any questions, comments, changes, deletions, additions, or whatever you prefer? If not, we'll call for the vote. All those of you in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion is carried and the minutes are approved as printed, and I thank you. If you will, take a moment to look at the last two pages. One is statistical information about our membership and enrollment. And the second page is report, our summary of financial report from the church treasurer. So if you will, take a look at both of those. If you've had enough time for those, I would entertain a motion to approve both of those reports.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments? If not, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Any opposed, nay. Thank you again. We move on to committee reports, and at this time, if I can get somebody to pass the microphones around. Somebody want to pass one on that side, and maybe we can get, I don't know where everybody's seated, but we can move a little quicker that way. Following the minutes of the last conference, so that maybe we don't miss anybody, like to have a report from music folks. Would you like to give one, Ms. Carter? you didn't know that was coming, did you?
I did not know that was coming. We're having it. We're having music. That's a good word, don't you think?
It's a lot better than if we weren't.
It's true. It's true. God's been really good to provide for us. We have some really talented economists, and they follow me the best they can. No, they just try to keep up with me, bless their hearts. And you notice that the choir's in the loft on Sunday morning, and they're meeting again regularly at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoons, and praise teams are being used on Sunday nights. And we've revamped that, and they're meeting at 4:15 to prepare for Sunday nights. And we're just excited about what God's doing with the music. Yeah. We are.
We appreciate all you folks. Most of y'all know how many folks have stepped up. Brother Julian did, and Clarice has helped us. Our accompanists are a great help, and so has Carla. We appreciate y'all carrying on the things that need to be carried on while we're without a minister in those areas, but grateful for all of you. Children, is there someone who can give us a report? Anyone? I don't see Ashley. Don't see Ashley. No, they got somebody sick, I think. Anybody else? Now I know there's all kind of stuff going on with the children. Somebody can talk about it. Good enough. Thank you. We have plenty of children, in case y'all don't notice. And I'm glad y'all are taking good care of them. Thank you. Appreciate that. Youth, Brother Derek, would you bring us that report, please, sir? Okay. That's not the word I got, but it doesn't matter where it comes from.
We attended the MOVE conference at Wild Adventures in December. We took 40, I think there were 40 of us, including the adults. We had two or three professions of faith from that. So some of those were our church members, and some were some visitors. We're tickled with that. We continue to have a great crowd on Wednesday. We're probably averaging 30 students. Quentin Carter is our leader. And I don't know what we would do without him. I honestly don't know. He brings our lesson to our teenagers every week, and if he didn't, Derek would have to do it, because I'm not doing it. So we have great attendance, great crowd every Wednesday. Our kids like being on there, I think. Okay. I got two kids right here, so they like being under with us. We're coming up on Disciple Now weekend, next weekend. If you're not familiar with that, it's where our teenagers stay all together in host homes. And they come here on Friday night and Saturday and Sunday morning, and they learn a lot about Jesus. And so that's a big deal for us. Miss Ann is kind of our ringleader on that, and her daughter, Abby, and Abby's husband, John, are the ones who do all the really hard work. We just fix the food and stuff, don't we, Miss Ann? We don't do that. Also planning for Impact Camp. We've had one fundraiser. We appreciate all of you, those of you who gave money for our teenagers for the Valentine's banquet, those that serve. That money goes 100% to our kids, because camp's expensive. It's over $350. So we do appreciate every time we have a fundraiser where you give money to those kids so that they can go. And that's all.
Good. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate all the work that y'all do. I know that's a thing that we take for granted sometimes, because a lot of y'all eat and then you go down to Hubbard Park. But you do wonderful work down there, and so we appreciate all of you doing that. WMU, Ms. Melinda, can you give us a report there?
All right, next month we will be kicking off Annie Armstrong. Our end gathering will be on March 26th, and our goal is $7,500. However the Lord leads you, but we really would like to go over that goal. I'm just saying. May 4th is the big thing for our church. As y'all know, in about April, I'll hit y'all up about sugar time. No, it's not men when you can give your wives a kiss at the church. It's where we collect stuff from the Baxley Children's Home. Well, we're hosting the event this year at our church. It's going to be on May 4th, which is also National Day of Prayer. We will have the ladies of our association brings in the salad suppers, different salads. We require the dessert, so I will be asking some ladies to help me. I'll let you know more about it when we get closer to it, but it's usually good. Speakers is good. You learn a lot about the Baptist Children Home, and you know, some of the times we've had the foster parents to come and talk and different things. So if you, and it's not only for women, men can come to this. Let me go ahead and say that before I mess up. Men can come. And our next meeting is going to be on March 6th, and all ladies are invited. It starts at 6:30, and it's here in the fellowship hall.
Thank you, ma'am. At any time, if y'all have questions of these folks who are attending your reports, or you want to know something else, just stop us and we'll ask them again. But, thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Teenagers, Ms. Shelma.
We continue to meet each month, second Tuesday. This month, we met Valentine's Day. We had a good turnout, had an excellent speaker share her testimony with us, Ms. Karen Wilkes. And next month, we're excited, we'll be on March 14th. We will be having our annual fish fry. So I invite you to come. Brad Anderson's father will be doing the cooking, and it's a very good meal. And we have our new DA will be our guest speaker, so love to see you there.
Thank you, ma'am. Sunday school, Brother Jim.
Good evening. Clarence and I are excited about serving as the Sunday school directors. I just really like to thank Mr. Terry and Ms. Diane for showing us the ropes. So, you know, and way over port, I see where we were 123 on our last report. We had 150 days. So it that's good news. And we're just excited to see where God will take us with our Sunday school program. And I'm here. If I can help you, please contact me. I've asked Clarice to hold up or to chair our complaint department. So if you got a problem, see her.
You better not say too much, had you? Thank you, sir. Beautification, we don't always call for your report, but there's a lot going on there. So if you have anything you want to tell us, you are welcome to do that.
Well, probably all of you have noticed we've kind of been under some construction for the past month or so. Our first phase was, I think it was actually before Christmas, the old social hall, which we're renaming, and we've got a couple of names. We don't want, it's called the old social hall, the old music room, but we want to give it a name, and we have the beautification committee has thrown a couple of names around, so we'll have something above that soon, and we will give it a name, and you can also use it for small showers, for meeting rooms, so it's not a junk room anymore. And then recently, back in January, first of January, we jumped on updating some work in our social hall, as you've seen, in our hallways. It's mostly been adding trim and a lot of paint, and it took about a month, I think, for everything to get completed. Although we're not done, this is just a phase. But it's been a big undertaking, and I appreciate all the ladies on the and guys who are on the beautification who've showed up to help when we need stuff moved or we need to do this, that, or the other. So we appreciate y'all being patient with us, especially the ladies' restroom. I know it's kind of thrown us off, but not having our normal stuff in there, but we're getting back to normal, and we appreciate y'all working around us and hope we can continue with our next projects as they come. We're not done.
If they're disturbed by that going on down there and they're able, they can go right upstairs. We've got two more new ones up there, don't we? If you haven't seen those, they're very nice, and it's good to have those upstairs too. Is there anyone I have missed? Is there any other committee report? Does anyone have a report? Anyone else? I don't see anybody on my list, but that's, we can always leave somebody off, so that's what I needed to know. The deacons, all that I want to tell you, we don't have anything from the deacons per se. I want to express appreciation tonight to, in the last year, for Brother Julian, Brother Robert, and Brother JL's been here the last 2 months. And for those folks working us through this transition, they've been available, and they've done their very best to lead us, and Carla's doing that now, and Miriam and Miss Dottie are always here. We take them for granted, but they're always here. And a lot of times they're leading a whole lot more than we think. They can fix all kind of mess ups over there that we do, and you can't tell it. We know it sometimes in the choir somewhere, but they don't. And they fix it. So I'm appreciative for all those folks and for them stepping up and taking place in all this, and grateful for all them. We have one more report, and that comes from the Pastor Search Committee. So at this time, I'll call on Brother Jeff Odom, who's chairman of that committee, to make his report, or the committee's report.
Hard hit floor from the floor, isn't it? So. I would like, Ashley, if you don't have too much going on back there, could you come up here, and John's up here, and Carla's already up here, but I just want people to be available. For the rest of the congregation, we're going to vote on Brandon in a little while. Brandon wanted to stay for our conference and see how things worked. He and Grace will leave when we vote, but anyway, that's coming up. I had a cheat sheet here, and I don't want to bore you with a lot of dates, but October 10th of 2021, Brother Mike Howard resigned. November the 7th, 2021, the Pastor Search Committee came together and was formed for the first time. We met on December the 5th with our area missionary, Freddie Gardner. So this is how long we've been working. And to skip ahead to Brother Brandon to tell you how long these things take, we received his resume, if I'm counting right, on November the 6th of 22. So it was a big old dead area in there. We had 70 or 80 resumes. That's round figures. That's pretty close. We had a fast on December the 7th, and anyway, the first time we met face-to-face with Brandon and Grace was January 17th, and we met down in Brunswick. They were close by, so we met them, and we went up to Macon and met them up there a few weeks later. I wanted to give Brandon a chance to answer any questions that you may have, and I wanted to give our committee a chance to answer any questions you may have. And some of our committee actually had something they wanted to share with you, and we'll hold that for just a second. But Brandon, if you'll come up and allow some questions to be given.
This is your part. fees for that, little difficult, what I'm talking about, to outline the, what we expect of people who want something to go along.
Yeah.
Can you read that?
Yes, sir.
Except you're from the city of town.
Currently, yes, ma'am.
Currently, is that where you have a church there?
I did. I'm in the middle of transitioning, preferably here.
Will you be moving to our community?
I sure hope so. Yeah, even, well, you know, I don't know how much behind the curtain you want to see, but we joked this afternoon, if they vote no, do we go home tonight and just drive it? No, we're planning on looking at some homes even tomorrow morning. Currently, we have a place to stay about 20 minutes from here, but we would love to be, I mean, I'd love to live within a mile or two of the church and just be in this community and quickly transition from an outsider to a native. Would be my ideal situation.
If any of your past churches have any special needs programs that you've been a part of or have seen work?
Yeah, so we haven't had a special needs program per se. In Cedartown, one of the things that happened was we had a few students who had special needs. And so one of the things that I cared deeply about was, one, how can we better minister to people who are pretty neglected? A lot of churches do a lot of the same things over and over again and reach the same kind of folks. I think there's an easy harvest to be made of people who just want to be cared for and loved on. Students and kids with special needs are particularly a part of that. And so what we did and what we saw, I ran the student ministry there, and what happened was, once we started making our place a safe space for students with special needs, we saw our numbers multiply. So we started with two or three, and we ended up having somewhere between 10 to 15 students with special needs attend. And I did what I could to partner them with trustworthy adults who already had established connections with them. So for example, I brought in a lot of the students' speech pathologists. She worked with a lot of them, and she had a lot of connection with them. And so she also knew their parents, and so we were able to build connections there and work toward that.
How did you go about connecting different areas of
So one of the things you'll find, if you don't know already, is that particularly since COVID too, churches don't really like to play together all the time, unfortunately. But what I did was I was very specific about contacting people and reaching out to them over and over again, almost forcing them to have lunch with me, meet me and connect with me. Prior to finishing my time in Cedartown, we had planned a DNOW event that was going to be area-wide, and we had close to 17 churches that were going to participate in that. And really, a lot of times with connecting churches, it's just a matter of someone willing to put in the work to kind of get it going, because it's not always an equal footing in that. You know, some churches will want to be involved in a group or multiple church event, but they don't want to put the work in or put the money in. So sometimes you just have to be willing to foot that bill and foot the labor in order to make that happen.
Why do you think God has led you here?
That's a good question. I got to tell you, and maybe the search committee could share some of this, but it kind of got to a point where I couldn't deny it anymore. When your church fasted December 7th, I told Jeff and the rest of the search committee, I said, I'm going to fast with you. And if I end up becoming your pastor, I just think that's a really neat thing that God did. That on that day, we were praying for each other. We didn't necessarily know who we were, but we were praying for each other. And that morning, I'll just go ahead and share this with you. I prayed, God, would you please shut any doors? If this is your will for me to come to Glenville First Baptist, would you shut any doors? And that night, I got told by my church in Cedartown that my time was coming to a close. And so I called Jeff that evening and I said, you're not going to believe it. I think maybe God wants me at your church. You know, I think ultimately, and I was sharing this a little earlier, I think every day we have to decide to follow the Lord's direction. And if you had asked me a few years ago if Glenville was even a place that existed, I would have said, we're probably somewhere, but I don't know where. But everywhere I've been has always been the best place I've ever lived. And every church I've been to has always been my favorite church I've ever pastored at. And I just know, and I've already seen it developing within me, God's stirring in my heart to love this church deeply. And I pray that God's stirring in your heart to love me deeply as well. And there's so many more ways I can answer that, but it just seems undeniable at this point. And I just want to be faithful to what God's leading. I know that your church is looking for a pastor to love on you and to care for you and to preach faithfully to you. And I just feel like that's how God has equipped me and wired me, and I would love to be that for y'all.
How did you get involved with the
ministry? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a little bit of a mixed bag, and here's what I'll say about that. It sounds like things are going really well with the leadership. Here's what happens over time, though, is people get burnt out ministering and caring and serving in that capacity, especially for extended periods of time. I'm pretty sure it's been longer without a youth minister than it was a senior pastor, right? That's burdensome for your leaders and volunteers. And so what I hope to do is to help provide some guidance and encouragement and refreshment in the meantime while we prayerfully seek who this next student pastor is going to be. I think it's really important for me not to become the senior pastor, youth pastor, music pastor, etc. But however I can lead and encourage our team in that process, I'm willing to do. I have a lot of experience in student ministry. I've seen a lot of student ministries run well and run poorly. I know you guys are doing really well currently, just like our children's ministry is doing. And so that doesn't mean, oh, it's not broke, don't fix it. But it just means that we'll prayerfully see together, right? I would love to meet with the youth committee or youth team, whatever we call them. And let's prayerfully seek where God would guide us. Sure. That's totally okay. Yeah. So, I don't want to freak you out. I did research on your county. I wanted to know where I was going, so I looked at the last census, and I looked at all the demographics and information and what religion people reported as. And in Tattnall County alone, 61% of people identified as having no religious concern. That's heartbreaking, but it excites me because it says there's a ton of people we could reach. You know, a lot of times we think about sharing the gospel with people in other countries. The most pivotal people we share the gospel with are usually our neighbors. And so one thing, if we want to talk about like practical ways, right? One thing is we've got to learn how to share the gospel. Now, I'm under the belief, and this may be a little bit of a harsh view, I'm under the belief that if you believe in Jesus, you should know how to share Jesus because you've received it. I understand people get nervous. people think that their words are going to be inadequate. I feel that way every day. But you got to understand, when we're faithful to share the gospel, God's faithful to return and reap what we've sown. So we'll learn how to share the gospel. There's tons of plans we could do. I'm sure the church over the years has done tons of, you know, Master Lock and all these different programs. But I think what it comes down to is we just have to go together and start sharing the gospel with people. And so when I think about how you practice sharing the gospel, sure, we can practice with each other, but let's practice sharing the gospel with people who need to know Jesus. And I'm going to trust God to sort out the details. I also think, you know, I'm not oblivious to think that having a new pastor is going to bring some sort of excitement to the church, right? I mean, here we are at a business meeting. I understand that. But let's leverage that opportunity and not just draw people to a new pastor, but draw people to Jesus. So that when 40 years down the road, I retire, that people aren't saying, "Oh, I always loved that pastor. I can't go back to that church anymore because that pastor's not there." And we're saying, wherever Jesus leads me to serve faithfully in my local church, I'll do it. We can definitely talk more specifics about that. High expectations. I just got to tell you, the Lord is very gracious and long-suffering. But we as a church have a really pivotal opportunity, just like I was talking about, to share the gospel with this community. And this community desperately needs the gospel. No, I haven't seen face-to-face the lostness of your community. I mean, everyone seems really nice, right? But if 60%+ mark that they have no religious affiliation, that's not even counting the people who said they were Christians that aren't really living like it, right? I mean, there's a lot of people not living Christ-like ways. And Jesus time and time again rebukes his church for living a lukewarm faith. And so my expectation for you as a congregation is that you will, one, come into worship joyfully and expectantly, right? I shared some of that this morning, that our expectation going into worship drastically affects our worship. And if you don't believe me, try it. Next week, imagine that the Holy Spirit of God is going to move in amazing ways, and you'll see it, you'll witness it, you'll feel it. The other is this. God has called us, each of us, and gifted us in different ways to be part of the local body. And if you are keeping those gifts to yourself and not serving the Lord faithfully, we as a church suffer for that. I think it's really important for all of us to know that we are in this together. It's not just some pastor sharing the gospel with the community. I'd be glad to. But so much more than that. And each of us are ministers in our own right, and we are called to that. And so we as a church have to hold each other accountable, push each other to be more Christ-like. And ultimately, I'll phrase it this way. I heard it once that if you put a honey badger and a rattlesnake in a bag together, they're together in the bag, but they're not unified. I don't want to be a church that's a honey badger and a rattlesnake in a bag together. We have to be unified in Christ if we are going to affect our community in an amazing way. And so let's not just be in this building together but can't stand each other. Let's truly be unified in Christ, looking past our differences and looking past our personal preferences and saying, "God, we're going to follow you and be faithful in that."
Is this water supposed to be for me?
Perfect.
I gave y'all the wrong date. I was in a hurry reading my notes. We met 11/22 in Brunswick, and we met January the 17th in Macon. So anyway, it goes back a little more distant than what I was saying. I know we've got one member of the search committee wants to share. Carla, if you want to come up.
I had the privilege Wednesday night to share some things, some thoughts with some ladies in ladies' Bible study. And I shared those with my brother last night, too. I was telling him about today, and I was excited, and I was asking him to pray, and I was sharing some of the things that the process that we used as the search committee. And he said, really? I said, you didn't know that? He said, no. And I shared something else. And he said, for real? I said, yeah. He said, are you going to have a chance to tell those people tomorrow, your church? And I said, well, I can ask for an opportunity. And so I did. I talked to Jeff. Two specific things that I think it's important for you to know as the committee comes to you tonight. We have been meeting weekly for about 14 months. In those meetings, we have prayed. And I don't mean that Jeff said, okay, I'll open us in prayer, and we have this cursory prayer, and then we met and we did our business, and then Jeff said, Terry, will you dismiss us in prayer? And so Terry dismissed us in prayer. No. No. From the beginning, everybody on the committee has prayed to open us up. And then we would do our business. Then as we closed, when it got close to time to close for the night or for the morning, we prayed again. So how many committees do you serve on where everybody prays to start the meeting and everybody prays to close the meeting every time? I would venture to say not many. Not many. And so I share that not as a pat on the back to us, but that we really committed to put this thing before the Lord and do what He led us to do. Continually. In addition to that, we committed to pray for one another daily. To pray for one another on the committee daily. So for 14 months, we've been doing this. And the prayers took all kinds of forms. But I think we were pretty honest before the Lord. Don't you guys think? In front of one another. Sometimes that's hard, especially when you come in at the beginning and I wasn't really close to all these guys. And I might share with you, just to bring some levity to the situation. My mother, God love her, because I do. She's really precious, but she's still my mother at 89. I call her every night to just check on her, make sure she's still walking around. When the committee got ready to go to Macon back in January, I told her, Mom, I may miss calling you tomorrow night because the pastor search committee is going to meet with a candidate tomorrow night in Macon. And I just don't know how time's going to you know, it might get away from me. I don't know how long we'll meet. I don't know whether we'll be on the road. I just don't know. And I'll get distracted because I have ADD and I may forget to call you. And she said, well, that's all right. Don't you worry about it. She said, who's going? I said, the committee's going. Duh, the committee. Well, are the wives going? I said, no, they're not on the committee. And we want to be able to talk in the van when we get back in the car or the van or the bus or whatever we're in. And we can't do that in front of all the wives being there too because they're not on the committee and we promised that we wouldn't talk about what was going on out of school. She said, so you're going off with four married men? Said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, classic. Always your mama. Listen, you behave yourself now. So I'm here to tell you at 62, I behaved myself with those four married men going to Macon for the evening. You see what I mean? We just all needed a little laugh here. The other thing I wanted to share with you, let me remember what the other thing was. Help me out. Miss Jane, where are you? What was the other thing I shared? We prayed. Oh, you need to know that from the beginning we decided that we would all be in agreement when we brought somebody before the church. We wouldn't vote on it, and if three said yes and two said no, well, we'll take it because it's a majority. No, we said, if God is leading us, then God will speak to everybody. And everybody will have the impression that we need to bring this person to the church. So if at any point we're discussing a resume and somebody said, I have a disagreement with this one. You know, I don't feel like this is a fit. Then we laid it aside. And we did that with however many Jeff mentioned to you, 70 or 80, however many it was. That's a lot of resumes. And we settled on Brandon. And everybody settled on Brandon. And somebody asked me Wednesday night, what happens if we vote no Sunday night? I said, then we start over. She said, so you'll go back to the resumes that you set aside and find one out of that bunch? And I said, no, ma'am. We'll start over. And we'll advertise again, and we'll take more resumes. Because you see, we don't want to settle for anything but God's best for our church. So to go back and pull out resumes that we said, no, we don't feel led, that would be settling for less than God's best. So I wanted you to know that we were unanimous and that we prayed continually as we come before you tonight. That's what I wanted to share. And about my mama.
She wasn't perfect on the trip, I'll just tell you that. I want to piggyback on one thing she said, and I won't run it in the ground, but we were at a meeting. Nobody will ever know the name, but there was four out of the five of us just absolutely sold on a guy. And one said no, and us four couldn't believe it. I mean, we just couldn't believe it. But that's what we agreed on. And from the very beginning, one of our prayers, from the very first meeting, I remember the prayers of our first meeting. For some reason, it was a theme. Ashley, John, Mr. Terry, Carla, and I, all of us, I don't know, God had spoken to us in the same way. We prayed the same prayer. We wanted God to send us somebody that we were burdened for, but we wanted God to send us somebody that was burdened for Glenville. We wanted God to send us somebody that already had a heart for this place. And that's one of the things we settled on there with Brandon. He definitely has had a heart for us. Did either of y'all want to share anything? Okay.
story about you and your brother, but I won't do it because I don't have your permission to do it. The phone call about who we were looking for, you remember that? He says, who are y'all looking for?
Oh, don't you remember? My son-in-law.
Okay, that's right, that's right.
That's fair.
Listen. Yeah. Who we were looking for was God's man in God's time, the right one, whatever that was. And if it took us 2 or 3 years, or it took us 2 or 3 months, and we didn't think, anticipate 2 or 3 months, but if it took us a long time, it did. And so it took the amount of time that it did, and everything fell into place and everything is worked out. There are a whole lot of details you haven't heard about how the committee functioned, but it went well. We never had any cross words about anything. We had some differences of opinions about things once in a while, but they were just the way we viewed resumes. And resumes are good, but sometimes they're a dime a dozen. You know, you can write a good one, you can write a bad one. But when you listen to, there's so many live streams on now, you can listen to pastors all you want to. You can listen to their sermons. You don't have to go and disrupt their services. And so we didn't do that. We didn't go anywhere not to listen to somebody. We listened to them all live stream, recorded, whatever links they sent us, any way we could get to do that. But I appreciate this committee. They have been as diligent as Carla said, we all have. And we purposed from the beginning to be that way and to operate that way and have done so. And Jeff's leadership has added to that greatly. He's kept us on the straight and narrow. We have prayed, as she said, and it's not been just a marked time, it's been a praise. So I appreciate everybody that's on it, and we've gotten to this point. And I'm grateful for all of you. And I appreciate you going with us. We rode in the truck that night too, to Macon, didn't we? Yeah, we all 5 rode in the truck, but shoot, they're bigger than a car. So, but we had a good trip that night. And we had a lot of time to discuss. We spent, in the 2 face-to-face meetings we've had with Brandon, not counting the telephone interviews and the calls back and to and the questions we asked that he answered readily, we spent, I think, somewhere around 5 to 6 hours in those 2 meetings. That's about right. Talking, asking questions of Brandon, asking questions of both of them, and at times just him. But it's been a good experience, and I don't want to burden you with any more, but it's been good. And I'm appreciative of where we are at this point anyway, and I appreciate Jeff and all the folks who are on it. So thank you.
Mr. Terry, if you can get some help and hand out those ballots. We've got some ballots there. They're in the seat right by me, and it's simple yes or no. Yes or no to the question. And if, however many of y'all can help hand them out, the quicker the better. And hopefully we got enough. And looking around the room, I want to discuss if when we're voting, I would like to include this so we don't have to come back and have another business meeting to adjust our church budget. But this will come from a committee, so it needs no second. But our recommendation on Brandon's salary package would be a salary of $57,000, 5% annuity, which is $2,850, insurance allowance, $6,000, and that total would remain the same. But he will pull a housing allowance out of his salary based on what the cost of his new house is. And that's between him and the government. That's the way all pastors operate. We do appreciate y'all giving us this responsibility. And Miss Shelma Kitchens, would you help us with our vote tally when it gets time? I'm just looking for unbiased people in the congregation. Dr. Ron, would you help us? And Miriam, would you help us, please? And what we'll do, just a simple yes or no, we'll put it in the collection plate and we'll count them right here in front of everybody. And it's, let me say this just to make it official. It is our recommendation, Brandon Newell, at the salary level I gave you, and a vote yes would be to vote yes on Brandon as well as the adjustment to our church budget, which would actually be not much of an adjustment because we budgeted around it. And we'll just have some quiet time while we do this. Well, we have an official tally. I don't have an official vote number, but it was unanimous yes. So, praise God. In my memory, that's the first unanimous we've had. That's, Dr. Ron, you agree with that? That's the first one I can remember.
You'll get them if you don't mind.
bring them in here, and we'll announce it as if we hadn't announced it, but anyway.
Thank y'all so much for being here tonight and for voting yes. I got to tell you, we are just thrilled to death to be here and to minister to you and with you. My prayer over the next few weeks is to transition to Glenville, transition into this community, and really be at the heart of it. Over this time of transition, please be gracious with me with names and families and connections. I told someone earlier, every time you see me, just reintroduce yourself like it's the first time we met. But we so look forward to being here, and we can't thank you enough. And if it's all right, I'd like to pray for us as a church, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for good answers. And Lord, I just pray that as we have come to partner with this church and become a part of this church, God, I'm just so thankful that you move all over the place, everywhere. Places that may not be in our radar one moment are places that you have great plans for us the next. So Lord, would you please use me? Would you please use us? Would you please move us out of the way so that you could be glorified forevermore? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all.